Welcome to the Know God Podcast, our weekly discussion with Dr. Jeff Colburn, where we learn about Jesus and how we can develop a relationship with God. Jeff earned his PhD in Bible exposition and is the founder of the Safe Harbor Digital Community, an online space where all are welcome to explore God. I am your co-host, Angela, and I cannot wait to get to today's discussion. Hello, and welcome back.
Hi, Angela. Great to be back.
Jeff, before we get into today's topic, I wanted to share some exciting news with our audience. We are changing the name of the podcast to Finding the Narrow Way, Living and Loving Like Jesus.
That is exciting.
So why do you think it's important for us to make this change?
Well, Angela, it's been great. We've done 8 episodes and we've been answering questions. People send us some great questions and just spending that time to answer it. And we're going to continue to do that work. As we were talking, about the past episodes and really what we want to get out of this podcast, or we want people to get out of this podcast more importantly, is, we just felt like we're speaking to people's minds and not their hearts. And people need to know how this affects them personally, how relationship with God can help them where they are today. I remember, when I first came to Jesus, right? I was in my mid-40s, and before that, I knew of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus, and certainly didn't know why I needed him. And, before I came to Christ, I was feeling alone. I carried a lot of stress and fear, and Sundays, I would just swell up with all this anxiousness because I knew Monday was coming, and then I'd wake up Monday and I'd be paralyzed with all this fear of I would just carry the weight of the week, and I would have trouble getting out of bed, and I'd be afraid of what was coming in the mail. I'd be afraid to answer the phone, right? Because what are these people calling me about, or what might show up in the mail, right? And Friday was always my finish line. Because I made it through another week. And sometimes I might not even check the mail Saturday because I just if something bad's going to happen, I'll deal with it on Monday. And that's how I was living my life. It was week after week, just trying to get through the week to Friday. And even on my vacations, I would carry the same fear. Then Saturday would come and then I felt like I had a break. So a lot of my vacations were long weekends because I knew nobody would bug me, Saturday or Sunday. And, I would turn my phone onto airplane mode when I was on vacation. I would tell people, that's so nobody disturbs me, but I didn't really tell them what I was afraid I was going to just be disturbed by. So that I carried all that and I was running a business. I looked like I had it together. I was running marathons, triathlons, and, at least I thought, that's the appearance I was giving to people, right? Sometimes we think we're fooling people when we're really not. But when I came to Jesus, or when I came to know Jesus, that is when all that weight of the world fell off my shoulders. So, I no longer felt alone. I didn't live in such fear anymore. He set me free, and I'm forever grateful for him for doing that. And I never want to go back to the way I was living before. And I just want people to know there's nothing more beautiful and more powerful than a relationship with God. And if what I'm talking about sounds like you, you have to know there's a better way, and that way is Jesus. And we want people to know him. We want them to know how to develop a relationship with him. And that's how we follow that narrow way. And that's what this podcast is setting out to do.
Jeff, that is awesome. I couldn't agree more. I do love the direction that we are moving. So that our audience understands the new name, though, can you explain what is the narrow way?
Well, if we look at Matthew 7:13-14, Jesus talks about these two ways, right? There's a broad way through the wide gate. And then there's their narrow way through the small gate, right? That few find, right? So that, many are traveling the broad way, and only a few people find the narrow way. And the broad way is that way, or that gate, that leads to destruction, whereas the small gate leads to life. And the way of Jesus leads us to that small gate, right? If we remember John 14:6, Jesus tells us that he is the way, right? No one comes to the Father except through him. And then again in Luke 13:23-24, Jesus tells us to strive to enter through the narrow door, right? But people have free will, right? They have that freedom to choose. We talked about in previous episodes, right? We have, God gives us free will. So many elect that broad way. They want to live for self. They want to live apart from God. And they continue to live in rebellion. And ultimately, that's going to lead to their destruction, right? But you can choose that narrow way, right? You can live in that loving obedience to God. And we know that's going to lead to eternal life.
Yes. So if someone wants to know, how do we find the narrow way?
Well, I like the image Archie France gives in his commentary on Matthew, right? He talks about the majority of people following the broad way without any effort or thought. You know, they're just simply drifting along with the crowd, right? And we know that, just, you know, people just going with the flow. And that's the image he gives. But then he talks about these people who make an effort to turn aside, right? They're trying to make their way to that unattractive narrow gate, right? They're moving against the crowd because they want to find that way to real life. And that image he gives us, all I can think of is like a street in New York City during rush hour where you just have that mob of people, that crowd of people just flowing in one direction. And you just see this person just trying to move against them. You're just trying to weed his way through, trying to make his way upstream. And he's getting, you know, knocked, bumped, cursed at. And that's really the image I get from Francis, you know, from what Francis shared in his commentary, right? You stand out from the majority, and you might suffer for it, right? But we got to go after that. We have to go against the crowd. We have to go upstream, because Jesus is that narrow way, and we have to follow him, right? And he's going to lead us along that narrow path.
Well, I think that is easier said than done. So a lot of people don't really know what it means to follow Jesus. Christians included. What are we to do exactly?
Angela, I believe you have it right. Many who do, come to believe in Jesus, they just don't know what this means, right? That, you know, and I think this is one area the church is lacking, and that's in discipleship, right? Or, you know, just to put it more clearly, like teaching people how to live like Jesus. That's what discipleship is. And as Christians, that's what we are to do, right? Our lives are to become more like his. And the term we use for that is called sanctification. And it's a process, the ongoing process of becoming like Jesus.
So how are we to live like Jesus?
Well, the one great thing is when you place your faith in Jesus and you accept him as your Lord and Savior, you receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, right? Jesus tells us that we'll receive a helper. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit is. He's a helper. He shapes us into Christ-likeness through his promptings and his convictions. But like I said, we have free will. And we have a very sinful and rebellious nature. So people can ignore these promptings and convictions, and they often do. And it's either out of fear or desire, right? Because, you know, as humans, we want to maintain control. And it's hard to surrender to someone, because we think we know what's best for us. And, you know, trying to, you know, surrender to somebody, you know, it goes against our rebellious nature. And I think Charles Stanley, I read a book of his on the Holy Spirit, and I think the analogy he gives is great, right? He compared the Holy Spirit to a lifeguard. And, you know, just like a lifeguard, you know, they wait until the victim stops fighting before they assist, right? Because, you know, if the victim's fighting, you can't help them, and more likely they're going to pull you down. So that's what the Holy Spirit does. He waits till we stop fighting, right? He waits till we surrender. And when we surrender, then the Holy Spirit can do his work. And it's this disobedience or this fighting against the Holy Spirit that hinders our growth in Christlikeness.
Okay, well, I'm going to say this word, and it doesn't sound very appealing, but what is obedience to God?
Yeah, no, obedience doesn't sound good, right? When we hear obedience, you know, it has a very negative tone to it. And it probably, if depending on who you're being obedient or what you're being obedient to, it possibly could. But when we're obedient to God, It says loving obedience, and it's appealing, right? Because we don't obey God out of fear. At least you shouldn't, right? Because, and that's not his intention. He doesn't want you to be obedient because you're afraid of him, right? He wants you to be obedient because you love him, right? We obey him out of our love for him. We obey him because we know he loves us and that his way is better than our way. And so we obey him because he's like, this is the way to life. This is going to give us that peace, that joy that we can only experience through God. And that's through that obedience. Like, I know for myself, I obey because I love God and I know he loves me. It's not out of any fear. Like, I'm not afraid of what he's going to do to me or I'm going to end up in hell. That's not my motivation for obedience. My obedience is loving. It's like, I want to obey him because he loves me and he has what's best for me.
Is obedience just another name for listening?
Well, we can listen to God. But we have to obey God. Like, you know, God tells, and I'm guilty as just as anybody. Like, sometimes God will tell me something, but I still have to obey. And sometimes we don't like what God has to say. And sometimes we ignore God. Like, sometimes we're like, oh, I'm waiting to hear from God. And we heard from God, but we didn't like what he said, right? So we can listen, but in order, we have to obey.
So it can't be that easy. So taking action on what God is asking us to do.
Yeah, it's not easy. And it's certainly not immediate, right? I still struggle with obedience, right? You know, sometimes fear or desire, right? It can drive my decisions, right? You know, and it's hard to give up control, right? And that only comes as we grow in maturity, right? That the more we grow in Christ's likeness, right? It's easier to be obedient.
How do we grow in maturity, though? How do we actually do that?
Well, I think Dr. Larry Crabb described this best, right? He describes this path of obedience between justification and glorification. And, you know, so this path of obedience is that sanctification process. And, you know, we know justification, you know, is when we first place our faith in Jesus, right? We know Jesus' death on the cross paid the penalty for our sins. So now we're justified before God, right? The sin debt has been paid. And then there's glorification, right? That's when we, at the end, when we become or receive the fullness of Christ. But between that justification and glorification is the sanctification. And that's that ongoing journey of becoming like Jesus. All right, so we can think of that path of obedience as that narrow path. You know, and according to Crabb, people start outside that narrow path, right? And when we start becoming obedient to God, we move over to the narrow path. And when we're on this path, that's when we start growing up in our maturity. And Crabb calls this over and up. You know, only when we're obedient can we be on the narrow path, and only when we're on this path can we grow in maturity. If we step off that path, which we can do, you know, we're not always obedient, right? Sometimes we're disobedient. But when we do that, when we are being disobedient, that stalls our maturity. It's only when we remain obedient can we mature in Christ's likeness.
So how do we know if we are maturing?
Well, Jesus is the model, right? He's our model of a mature Christian, right? We have four gospel accounts of his life and ministry. So we see what he says, we see what he does. So that's the model to follow, right? And beyond that, he describes what it is to be a true follower, right? In his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, right? He describes his characteristics of a follower. And, you know, if we're maturing, right, we're going to develop these characteristics that he describes. And then even beyond that, Paul writes Timothy and Titus, and he gives them instructions, and he gives them examples of what to look for in mature Christians, right? And this is what we're going to be talking about in future episodes, because we want people to understand what are these characteristics of a mature Christian. So we want to talk about the aspects of the Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to want to talk about Paul's letters to Timothy and Titus.
Okay, so besides reading the accounts in the Bible, is there any other way you can tell if you are maturing?
Absolutely. So another key indication of maturity is your growing trust in God, right? You're going to question him less. You're going to be obedient when he's asking. What he's asking makes no sense to you. It might be counter to what you would normally do. It sounds really difficult or just seem like a bad idea. But as a mature Christian, you trust God and you're going to do it, right? And as you mature, God's going to test your trust in him even more. So something he calls you to do, it may have sounded crazy when you're a young Christian, but as a mature Christian, you're not afraid to take that leap of faith, to step into that faith, because you trust God, you trust his plan, you trust that how much he loves you, right? So that's what it means, right? That's a great indication that you're maturing. It's just that growing trust in God, and through that trust, the greater obedience to God.
What are some ways we can build our trust? How do we actually do that?
Sure. You have to develop a relationship with God, right? It's like anyone else, right? Our trust grows as that relationship grows. So it's not enough just to believe who Jesus is, right? You have to build a relationship with him. And that's what God wants. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to trust him, right? Because he has what's best for us, right? He wants us to love him as he loves us. And that's what's so beautiful about a personal God, right? It is that he knows and loves each and every one of us individually.
So how do you develop this relationship?
Well, Angela, like any relationship, you know, you have to spend time with that person and you got to get to know and trust them, right? You know, and there's no different relationship with God, right? Attending worship service on Sundays, it's not enough, right? That's not going to build that relationship, right? Again, look at Jesus, right? See his relationship with the Father. See how he spent time alone together, right? You know, and how he sought the Father's guidance through prayer and listening, right? And, you know, today we refer to these things as spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices, but these are what we use to strengthen our relationship or grow our relationship with God. And these are things like prayer, listening, studying the Bible, worship, fasting. And again, these are things we're going to want to be talking about in future episodes. Like, what are these spiritual practices? You know, what can we be doing to grow this relationship, right? So that we can grow our trust in God, so that we can be more obedient to God out of our love for God.
That is really great that we will be discussing these in future episodes. I can't wait. But what if someone wanted to start building their relationship with God today? What is one thing that you would tell them to start?
Pray, right? Prayer. Prayer is just talking and spending time with God. He wants to hear from you. It doesn't mean you have to go out and learn prayer from other people. He doesn't want anything rehearsed. He wants to hear your heart, right? He wants you to be authentic, right? He wants you to talk to him like you talk to anyone else. So I encourage everybody, just start, right? Just share what's on your heart. Ask them questions. Share your frustrations. You might even be angry with them. Share it, right? Just find that quiet place and pray. It could be in your car. It could be in your office. Just some place where you can be alone and it's quiet and it's with no distractions. And just talk to God, right? There's nothing more important or even more powerful than prayer.
Jeff, I am really excited about the future episodes. I can't wait to talk more about what it means to follow Jesus and how we can build a relationship with God. It's my favorite topic. I hope everyone else found today's discussion as helpful as I have. Thank you, everyone, for being part of the Know God podcast. Please join us every Monday as we learn more about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. If you found this episode helpful, please leave us a review. We would love to hear from you. Also, please join the Safe Harbor community at digitalsafeharbor.com, a safe online space where you can ask questions, share your experiences and struggles, and engage in honest conversation. Until next week, have a great day and God bless.